بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. I greet you with the Islamic Universal Greeting of Peace. May the peace, the mercy and the blessings of Allah be upon each and every one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. We continue our series titled Nubala Hawla al-Mustafa, Noble Ones Around the Chosen One. We take anecdotes from the inspirational lives of amazing people who are in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And today we take a snapshot from a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose literary talent attained reverential acclaim. And that person is Tumadir binti Amr. Tumadir was a member of a very powerful tribe. They were of the Shari'i family belonging to the Banu Sulaym tribe, who lived between Mecca and Medina. They were very well known, very powerful. And her father, Amr Abdul Bar, was the chief of the clan, and Tumadir was considered like a princess in that circle. Their tribe was so proud of their status, and such was their standing in that community, in that vicinity, that Banu Jusham was a very famous tribe, also a very well-known tribe. When one of the chiefs of that tribe proposed to Tumadir, the chief's name was Durayd ibn Suma, the family refused. Despite their status, they were equal to the Banu Sulaym. So you can imagine the kind of mentality that was there. And they were from the Hawazin tribe. Just to indicate the kind of status they had in those circles, in their mentality at that time. When she eventually married, it was not a pleasant marriage. One husband was a gambler, and one was Murdas, who was not treating her very well either. But the focus is not so much on that aspect of her life, but rather on the fact that she was a poet, a well-known poet. And if you read Arabic poetry, you may not know the name Tumadir binti Amr, but you know Al-Khansa. She was known as Al-Khansa, which means a gazelle. And she used to recite poetry at the marketplace of Uqaf near Mecca. And this is a place where people used to gather annually or on special occasions from all parts of Arabia. And different Arab tribes would send their best representatives. And she would come from her tribe and read poetry in the company and in the audience of those kind of people. She was very close to her brothers, particularly Sakhr. One of her brothers' name was Sakhr. And she was very attached to him. One was Sakhr, one was Muawiyah. This was not before the time of Islam, before Muawiyah, which became a Khalif. This is Sakhr and Muawiyah, her brothers. And both of them died in some kind of skirmishes between their tribe and another tribe. But nonetheless, when Khansa was once asked about who she values most between her brother Sakhr and Muawiyah, she said, أَمَّا سَخَرْ فَحَرُّ الشِّتَاءِ وَأَمَّا مُعَابِيَةً فَبَرْدُ الْهَوَاءِ. She was very poetic even in ordinary responses. Said, regarding Sakhr, he's like the warmth in winter. As for Muawiyah, he was like the coolest of the breeze in summer. But she kept it in very poetic words. أَمَّا سَخْرٌ فَحَرُّ الشِّتَاءِ وَأَمَّا مُعَابِيَةً فَبَرْدُ الْهَوَاءِ. She became particularly known when she composed poetry and recited poetry, lamenting the death of her brothers. And those poetry are still considered masterpieces of poetry in the Arabic language. Poetry is on tragedy. But Khansa was a deep and passionate artist, thinking and feeling deeply about her circumstance, about the emotions that were evoked by the reality of her time, and through her poetry, the history of that time was also captured, the pathos of the people, situation and the struggles. She had a huge reservoir of emotion that she was able to communicate in simplest of terms, yet she was self-controlled, wonderfully touching, and she الشمس صخرة وأبكيه لكل غروب شمس. See, every morning when I awaken, the first rays of sun remind me of my brother, and every evening when the sun sets, the dusk reminds me of him. Her diwan, or collection of poetry, was carefully preserved by Islamic scholars, and her poetry straddles both Jahiliya, the period before the Prophet's mission, and after she became Muslim. But how did she become Muslim? Khansa arrived in Medina after 7 years of Hijrah. In other words, Rasul was in Makkah 10 years, and then he was in Medina for his mission about 13 years, sorry. And then he was 10 years in Medina before he passed away. 3 years before the Prophet passed on, there's a time when a deputation from her tribe came to meet with the Prophet. So you need to understand, sometimes there were people who were inimical towards Islam. Sometimes there were people just impartial. They were out in the outskirts doing their own thing. And so this proud tribe would easily mix and marry other people, as generous and as noble as they were. Very proud people though. When they came to Medina, they came to meet the Prophet. The entire tribe with the chief came. And when they engaged the Prophet, all of those who came embraced Islam, and Khansa was one of them. And then began a new era, a new period, where she gained fame as one who read poetry even for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She became distinguished as a poetess of Arabia during the early Islamic period, and even the Prophet used to admire her poetry. One incident a bit later in her life, when Khalifa Umar was the Khalifa at that time, radiallahu anhu, in the 16th year of Hijrah, there was a battle of Qadsiyah. And Khansa, along with her four sons, took part in the battle. And on the eve of the battle, she exhorted all her sons, إِنَّكُمْ أَسْلَمْتُمْ طَائِعِينَ وَهَاجَرْتُمْ مُخْتَارِينَ. Very poetic, you are my sons. We embrace Islam consciously, and we migrate to Medina out of your own free will. And she goes on to say, but Allah, besides whom there's no other God but Allah, you are all the sons of the same father, the son of the same mother. I never betrayed your father, nor defamed your family. I never allowed a blot to come onto your high birth, nor polluted your pedigree. You know what rewards Allah has promised for those who fight in the cause of Allah. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ الدَّارُ الْبَاقِيَةِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ دَارِ الْفَانِيَةِ. And remember that the eternal life of the hereafter is better than the temporary life of this world, and so on. And she read in that poetry part of a verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اصْبِرُوا وَصَابِرُوا وَرَابِطُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, and so on. So she exhorted them before the battle. The Muslims won the battle of Qadsiyah, but Khansa lost all four her sons. When she was informed, of course, as I mentioned, she was a master of poetry, wrote special poetry on the death of her brothers. She's known for that. The poetry she wrote on her brothers when they died has become part of Arabic tradition of tragedy. And yet when her sons died, can you imagine the emotions when their own sons died? Yet she said, الحمد لله الذي شرفتني بقتلهم وأرجو من ربي أن يجمعني بهم في مستقر الرحمة. She said, praise be to Allah who honored me with their martyrdom, and I hope from my Lord that I will be reunited with them in the abode of mercy. She said, my sons, I bore you with pain and brought you up with care. You have fallen today for the cause of your faith. Who says you are dead? You are very much alive, and alive with honor. And I feel indeed proud to be the mother of martyrs. That's the kind of poetry that she wrote. Khansa is considered by many as the greatest Arab poetess of all times, renowned for eloquence, outspoken courage, and she remains to this day a legend in Arabic literary annals. Historians document, كان الرسول الكريم يستنشدها ويعجبها شعرها ويقول هيا يا خنساء. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoyed her poetry, encouraged her, motivated her, and on occasion said, whenever they were down, he said, say, come Khansa, come refresh us, revive us, and then she would read poetry for the Prophet. Jarir ibn Atiyya al-Tamimi was a later poet, was very renowned, and some people consider Jarir the greatest Arab poet. So someone asked him one day, at the time of Sayyidina Uthman, they asked this great poet Jarir, who was the greatest poet among the Arabs? He said, Ana lawla al-Khansa. It would have been me if it wasn't for Khansa. What I want use this person here is to understand the multi-dimensional forum that was around the Prophet. Many people think the Sahaba were people sitting around the Prophet in the masjid. When they walked in, they fought and they came back there in the masjid and they didn't have anything else to do. No, it wasn't like that. That's a one-dimensional understanding, one-dimensional perspective of the Prophet and those around him. And thus, people of that perspective, they have a narrow understanding of their faith and a shallow appreciation of their religion. These were individuals who came from varying backgrounds, from a shepherd like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, to Khadija bint Khuwaylid, who was a rich person, to Tumad bint Amr, who was a princess. People from Delhi, Bilal ibn Rabah, who was a foreigner and a slave. To Ammar bin Yasir, and Yasir bin Ammar, people came from different parts of the world, from Yemen and so on. Varying people with varying backgrounds, multifaceted, multidimensional. So you need to understand that people around the Prophet were not monolithic, all of them were the same, doing the same thing. It's very important to understand this. So, they were individuals who came from varying backgrounds with different capacities and were able to collectively make a voluminous contribution, each in their own way. So here we see Khansa, a princess, with literary skills, which was greatly treasured by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She used her art to capture the history of her time and also to inspire the faithful, including the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at times of celebrations and at times of loss. And she was a specialist, which was not ignored by the Prophet, nor overlooked by the Prophet. But like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who was a young shepherd whom the Rasul acknowledged, whom nobody acknowledged, here was a princess with literary skills, and the Prophet equally acknowledged her as he acknowledged the shepherd, and both were companions of the Prophet. She was a specialist, and the speciality of hers was not ignored by the Prophet, acknowledged by the Prophet. And she was a woman who gave four sons in battle. Adi ibn Hakim was a very famous person, and he later became Muslim, but they came from a different part of the world, near Syria. His sister was captured in one of the battles, and he came to ask for the release of his sister. So he spoke to the Prophet, and the Prophet asked him, "Who are you and from where are you?" He said, "I'm from the Tayy tribe, Hatim Tayy." So he said, "Who are you? What? Tell me something about your people." So he said, "Inna fina afrasun nas wa ash'arun nas." He said, "Oh Muhammad," he wasn't Muslim at that time, "we have the best of knights in our midst, and the best of poets in our midst." And the Prophet humbly responded to him, said, "Laysa kama qult ya Adi." It cannot be the way you say, Adi, it cannot be like that. He said, "Amma afrasun nas fa Ali ibn Abi Talib wa amma ash'arun nas." Because if you sing the best knight, it is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And if you sing the greatest poet, we have it amongst us. It's Khansa, the daughter of Amr. Scholars of spirituality, scholars of theology, scholars of poetry, and of history, when they speak of Al-Khansa, they say, "Hal ataka hadith Al-Khansa, umri arba'at al-shuhada, والشاعر المجيد المحتفى التي أعجب بشعرها خاتم الأنبياء." Have you heard the story of Khansa? The mother of four martyrs, the magnificent poetess whose poetry was admired by the final messenger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to be inspired in different ways by the lives of these great people. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.